forest. And it was interesting because the trees were just a bit taller than I was. And I could see the path. You know, it was like the road, the trees were cut so manicured, like a really expensive neighborhood, you know, where a lot of rich people live, where the trees were really, and I could see the path. But as I was walking in the path, I heard a voice say, "Look over here." And, you know, I went to, you know, doing like this, and I heard it say, "Look over here." Then I heard another voice say, "Don't look. Don't look." I knew that voice was the voice of the Lord. When I heard that voice, I began to look down the path. It was kind of winding in that, but at the end of the path, there was a bright light, and people that were making it to the end of the path were going up in the light. And so that voice was trying to get me to look away. And I didn't. I made it all the way to where the light was, and then the Lord said, "Now you can look." And I looked, and it was people were a little shorter than the trees, but this, it was the devil, was much bigger than the trees. And he was looking down, and he was so angry and so mad that so many were making it to the light. And, you know, he kind of, you know, jumped up like a little child, jumped up. He was mad. He was angry. Then he fled away. And I woke up, I thought, wow. You know, in this day and time that we live, one of the major weapons in Satan's arsenal is to distract you, to get you to looking at something that's not in the path. You know, God has been showing me, and we know this, but it's one thing to know it, and then one thing to have a rhema, where God reinforces it or shows it to you, where, you know, it enters into your experience. But in the midst of all the stuff, I'll say, that you faced, the ups and the downs, the bumps and the bruises, the stuff that's been contrary to you, the times where it looked like you wasn't going to make it, where things wasn't going to work out, where there was no way human possibly that it was going to happen for you. You know what I mean? Total despair. In the midst of all that, God hadn't changed one bit. And his mandate and his purpose hadn't changed. And I'll go as far as to tell you, he's still working. Amen. Now, none of this stuff has distracted him. I'm telling you, God is still working mightily. Amen. Elijah, the prophet, he knew God well. But in a season in his life, God took him from warring, and he took him to the cave at Horeb, Mount Horeb. And when he entered into the cave, it says there was an earthquake, and the rocks were falling and all of that, but it says God was not in the earthquake. Then a fire, like a furnace, started to burn, and God was not in the fire. Then there was a wind. God wasn't in the wind. See, Elijah knew him like that. But in this season of ministry and his life, God appeared to him in a way he didn't know him so well. A still, small voice. And it shifted. And this is what I want to talk to you about tonight. It refocused his faith. You know, that dream I had, the enemy was trying to get me to focus on something else other than the path. Now, that may sound very simplistic, but think about it a moment. All the stuff that tries to bombard your mind, all the stuff that tries to discourage you, distract you, even, I'll go as far as to say, to defeat you. You have to understand something. This is warfare. the devil is cunning at making you feel like it's you. Oh, don't. Listen, I say this often. Age and treachery will always kill youthful zeal. If you don't know, that's why we need to know. My people are destroyed many times for lack of knowledge. We take it upon ourselves and we own that discouragement. We own that depression. That's a big deal in the world today. You know, a lot of people are depressed. I'm talking about people that are not saved. Now, you have some saved people that are warring with this. These are spirits. Amen. But my point again is that when he gets you to focus on the wrong thing, you think God ain't working. God is working all the time. 24/7. He doesn't sleep and he doesn't slumber. He's working for your good and your benefit all the time. But in order for us to see it, tell somebody, you got to refocus. You see, the word says in the book of Proverbs, and sometimes we kind of maybe skim over this verse, but it says that the seeing eye and the hearing ear, the Lord is maker of them both. It says something, I'm paraphrasing it, but he makes them both. Now, sometimes we think, okay, well, yeah, everybody that can see and everybody that can hear, God makes them. No, that's not what it's talking about. Because everybody don't see. They have eyes. They have sight, but they don't see. Take an artist. You know, someone that's not an artist can look at a picture and say, that's a beautiful picture. An artist can tell you, no, they messed it up over here or over there. Why? You don't see it. You have sight, but because that is their trade, their craft, and they know all the brush strokes and all of that, they see differently. So the word says that God makes the seeing eye and the hearing ear. God does. Without God opening our ears, we won't hear. We'll hear, but we won't hear. Remember, Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. That hearing, they wouldn't understand. But he spoke to his disciples plainly. And he broke down things so that they would hear and they would see. The Lord went on to say, blessed are the eyes that see what you see and the ears that hear what you hear. Kings have desired to hear these things and haven't heard them. Not a matter of a person's station in life, the power they wield or the position they have. If God don't open their eyes, if God doesn't open their ears, they're not going to hear. How blessed we are to hear and to see. So much of our warfare is going to deal with those two gates. The enemy wants you to see something else. Look over here. It ain't really like that. Get on your shoulder and go to speaking stuff. Get you to looking at people wrong. Or looking at your circumstance. I'm telling you right now where you sit, right now, God is working in your behalf. God has already gone into your tomorrow, into your next week, into your next year. He's already working it out. And he promised us, for we know that all things are working together for them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Tell somebody right now, he's working it out. Amen. So let's take a look at something here, because we talked about two different types of hope. And we talked about the type of hope that Abram, when God changed. See, God changed his name before he had a child. His name was Abram. And Abram means exalted father. Abraham means father of a multitude. So God changed Abram's name to Abraham and Sarai's name to Sarah. ever before they had any children, so that he would be calling those things. Come on, walk with me here. That he would be calling those things that are non-existent as though they were. Abraham. Lord, how can I be a father of a multitude and I don't have a child? But God was calling. Come on, God was calling Abraham. Now, there are three things here that we want to build on tonight in relation to refocusing our faith. Number one, there is a, I'm going to call it a scroll. There is a scroll written in heaven about you. It was written before you got here. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
A scroll. Go quickly to Jeremiah chapter 1. So number one, there's something written in heaven about you. It was written before you got here, before you were in the womb, before you became who you are, before you arrived here in this city or wherever. It was written about you. The words of Jeremiah, get me verse 4 and 5. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Okay, think about that a moment. God says, before you were formed, before you were conceived in the womb, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. And I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant. Okay, we'll stop there. So, all this he's telling Jeremiah, and Jeremiah saying, I'm but a child. The Lord said, before you got here, I ordained all this stuff for you. So there's a scroll written in heaven concerning you and I. All right? It's God's plan and it's God's purpose. Now, in our journey, if you're like me, there have been times you've listened to that other voice and got off track. Somebody say amen for real.
Amen.
Where you missed the mark. Where the devil snared you. How many know every time the enemy tries to snare you, God frees you?
Hi, it's that time of year again. The Pour the Oil Worship Conference will be held on October 12th and 13th at Resurrection Life Family Worship Center in Fort Pierce. If you serve Sunday after Sunday without an opportunity to sit and be poured into, here's your chance. Or if you just love to worship, register for the Pour the Oil Worship Conference at www.pourtheoilconference.com or call 772-475-6800 for more information.